Hello.
Hello, everyone. Coach Kathy here. Let's get everybody in to the meeting tonight. Hello, Margaret. Going to put the chat over here so I can glance at it if I need to. I see Lisa has her hand raised. Lisa, I'm so glad to see you here. I am so glad. So I'll let everybody come in real quick. Lisa, keep your hand raised. I'm going to talk for just a minute and then I'm going to call on you. As promised, hello everyone. I just love hosting Zoom calls, seeing everyone say hello. So as promised, I'm going to talk a little bit about oh, I miss you too, Alice. I'll talk a little bit about feeling more than one emotion at a time. So I'm very curious and use your reaction buttons and either give me a thumbs up if you know how to feel more than one emotion at once and what that might mean, and give me the surprise face, the oh, if you have no idea what I'm talking about. If you think that is like, what is that voodoo you're talking about? Okay, I've got some surprise faces. So here's what I mean by that. Okay. The best example I can give you right now, I'll have several, but the best one I can give you right now is today is my father's birthday. So he was born in 1942. This is 2025. He would have been 83 today had he lived past 2015. So as I think about him, the tears come, the sadness, the fact that I can't call him on his birthday and give him a hard time because I always gave him a hard time when they declared Earth Day. It was April 22nd. I said, dude, your birthday is the same as the Earth's. You must be really old. We had this running joke. So as I say that, right, you see the tears in my eyes, you feel the sadness, but my voice elevated. You also felt probably the love, the affection, the humor, right? Because just because he's gone and I'm sad that he's gone doesn't mean I don't have memories that light me up, that send up a flare of love, right? So, boy, it didn't take me long to cry, did it? So that's what I mean. When I think about my dad, the initial thing that comes in most of the time is, I wish I could just call him. Right? But then I think about it's usually spurred by a memory, like the Masters. Did anybody watch the Masters, the golf tournament? For some reason, my dad and I always seemed to be together on Masters weekend, whether he was here or I was at his house. And so there are many, many Masters tournaments that we watch together. And I'm not a golf watcher. It's like the only tournament and maybe partial of the tournament that I'll watch all year long. But I always watch it because it was something that my dad and I did together and has all these amazing memories of fun things we. He was a golfer, so he had all the funny stories about the golf course. And, if somebody's putt didn't go far enough, he'd go, pick up your skirts, Alice. Sorry, Alice, but, that's what he'd say. Pick up your skirts. So anyway, my point is, when I think about my dad, I can feel the sadness. Honor it because, of course, I'd be sad. Let's normalize it for a minute, right? Of course, I'd be sad because I love him and I miss him. But I can also feel the happiness that comes with a little laughter, the love and affection that comes because he's my dad, and I cared about him, and anything else that I want to bring in. Does that make sense? Give me a thumbs up. Those of you who were like, the surprise face people, tell me if that makes sense. Okay. I'm going to give you a powerful question that Coach Betsy, I got to give Coach Betsy the kudos for this. I'm giving you a powerful question to ask yourself. I think what happens to us is that we accept the first thought that comes in as truth, the first emotion that comes in as truth many, many times, and we don't question them. We don't look to see if those are the ones we want to make actionable. So when you're feeling sad because you have lost someone, ask yourself, what else is there? So I had a thing I was talking to Coach Betsy about not too long ago. And I felt shame, y'all. The shame was real. It was heavy. And I'm talking to her about it, and she's light coaching me. You know, we're pretty much having a conversation. She says, Kathy, what else is there? And I said, hope, possibility, doubt. And I started naming other things with regard to the topic that we were talking about that I actually did feel. But it took her asking me that question, what else is there, for me to uncover it. So you might see me do that in some of the coaching tonight. And it'll be interesting to see what else is possible. What else is possible to feel in that moment? What else is possible to think in that moment? And I want to offer that to you. As you process emotions, as you process shame or grief or discontent or anything else that you want to eat over to feel relief, maybe in the pause you say, what else is there? Okay? Margaret says, good journaling question. Absolutely. All the things. Okay. Lisa. Are you ready for me? Let's get started. Here she comes. Need to unmute. Start your video. Okay, there's your mute. There you are.
Hi.
Hi. So here's what I want you to do first. I want you to give us a recap of why you are here on this call today.
I'm here because I have been in a serious nervous system dysregulation for most of the last 2.5 years, but the current cycle is going into its sixth week. I'm experiencing, you know, more than one feeling at a time: shame, sadness, disappointed, anger, hopelessness, grief, overwhelmed, and anxious. I've been my mother's caregiver for 2.5 years. She's 85. She's been bedridden now for 14, 15 months. So she was ambulatory when she moved in. I'm the only girl, and I have three brothers, two of which were lived near her in California, but nobody was meeting her needs. We've never had a good relationship from the time I was very young.
Who is we? You and your brother, or you and your
no,
mom?
No, me and my mom.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm retired, and at the time that I asked her to move in with me, I was the only one retired, the only one that doesn't have kids, with space, and I felt more obligated than any other reason. I wanted very much to be the good daughter, which I've never been, and it was important to me to be the good daughter and to make this attempt. She's currently, well, she's been in the last year since she became bedbound last January of 2024. She's now in her third skilled nursing facility stay. She left, well, I took her to the ER on April 7th, and she's been in the hospital and now a skilled facility since then. So it's been into the, I'm into the third week and I still can't get any sense of normalcy because it's constant drama. She has Parkinson's and some other health issues, but the caregiving is the least problematic. It's the dynamics of our relationship and being constantly triggered. Most of the last 2.5 years, I've been in survival mode, fight or flight.
Okay.
And I don't know how, I mean, I know what I could do to regulate my nervous system. I mean, you have your five pillars. I had a couple, maybe 2 good months at the beginning of the year, and I was working on stuff and trying to address my nighttime eating because at the end of the day, I'm so overwhelmed and I can't shut my brain off. And so the only way I could fall asleep was to eat before bed. Yeah, I put together some stats before today, the call today. And so over the last 5 weeks, ending this past Friday, my sleep has been at 37%. I have been in this spiral since about March 16th, which culminated in my mom going into the hospital. Prior to that, I was getting back. I've been around no BS for 3 years. I lost my 40 pounds. Then I was super morbidly obese, had lost a lot of weight from bariatric surgery, regained, and I've lost 40 pounds in no BS, but overall, I've lost 250 pounds.
Wow. Can I just say, wow, 250 pounds?
My top weight was over 400.
Good for you. You
But
obviously know how to take care of yourself if you have lost 250 pounds. Can we just agree on that? Okay.
yeah, I had some bounce back. I had a bariatric surgery and a regain over about 10 years of 100 pounds. Found no BS. I've lost 40 pounds, and then things with my mom really kicked into gear. So I had gained back 15.
Okay.
But oh, since the end of December through March 21st, I had lost 16 pounds, brought me back down to my lowest no BS weight, which for like 20 years was my goal weight, although I've decided that I want to lose more. But when I get dysregulated, everything goes out the window.
Of course.
All the self-care, just
Well,
everything.
let's stop there. When you get dysregulated, you do some self-care. It's just not in line. You self-soothe, but it's not in line with what you would consider self-care.
I
And I'll
do
get into,
overeat, so yes, that's my soothing.
All right. So I'll get into that in a minute. I want to ask you though, you said you said it a couple of times that you want to be the good daughter. Who needs to tell you that you're the good daughter for you to feel like the good daughter?
I know that I have needed it from my mom my whole life, but since she's here, I thought I had come to the realization to let it go, that it's not ever going to happen. I'm never going to be good enough. I'm sorry.
But do you need to be good enough for her, or do you need to be good enough in your heart?
Well, intellectually, I know that I need to feel in my heart, but it's not ever going to come from her. I'm not ever going to have the mother that I should have had ever. I guess that part of me thought that having her here at this last stages of her life, that we could reconnect and have a better relationship. That's not going to happen. She's not capable of that. Plus, She doesn't want to change. She doesn't see anything wrong with how she is. And I've been in therapy my whole adult life because I really don't want to be like her. I thought I had forgiven her, but since she's been here, I mean, she's lived in California for a long time. And the last time we were together for any length of time was in 2018 and 2019 when she came and I had two knee surgeries. And things were good then. But now they're not good. They probably won't ever be good. And I'm coming to realize that, but it's still really hard. I did a book study with my accountability partner of the Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins, and I was working really hard on letting her be herself because this is who she is, understanding that I can't control her, I can't save her from the consequences of her own behavior. I was trying to focus on my energy and my health and my priorities. And I did okay for, till the end of March. And I think she gets uncomfortable when things are relatively peaceful and she triggers me. Without a doubt, I believe she does it on purpose. And I got pulled in before I could control it. And then the spiral just, it becomes very circular and very deep and dark and all of that. And
So when so much here. So to respond to the let them and allowing her to be her, beautiful work. Okay? That's exactly the work. In fact, I worked with a private client. She may be on this call, I don't know. She's still around the membership for 3 months on her mother's and her relationship with her mother because there was a lot of triggering behavior. It's not, it's a similar story, but not a similar story. Okay. A lot of triggering behavior, a lot of self-worth issues with regard to how her mother felt about her. So it is not an easy process, but it is possible for you to allow her to be her and still be able to maintain your own self-worth. Okay. And I think that's the second part of the, I have not listened to the Let Them Theory. I haven't read it. I think it's a beautiful concept, but I also think that it is important for us to let them be them and appreciate ourselves at the same time. So that's why I asked you, that's why I went back to who needs to tell you that you're the good daughter? If you're still relying on that from her, and that is what's part of what's causing the dysregulation or the core of it, right? You may never regulate. You're going to
No,
have to,
I
right?
agree
You're going to have
totally
to
with.
find a way to understand your worth with regard to her care. That's where I would start with you. Okay.
I agree with that, and I know that to be true. And when I was doing the work and able to pause and not react and, just walk out rather than getting into it, and I wouldn't engage with her. It's like a dance. It's like a nasty dance. And I know that everything you said, I totally believe that. But I get pulled in, it's like instantaneous. I can't always pause, and then I'm in
Yeah,
the middle of it.
a trigger can be instantaneous for sure. Yeah.
And that's what's happened the last 5 weeks.
So
I'm not
let's
ever going to hear what I need to hear from her. I know that. And I have a lot of hope, that I can work th that I can work through this and get to the point. This is, I used to blame not losing weight on her, but this is the season of life I'm in. This is my new normal. This, it's going to be like this until she's no longer in my house, which could happen at any time now because I can't keep doing this.
All right,
We
so
didn't.
let's talk about let's kind of table that for a second, okay? And kind of come back to the conclusion that You're not going to hear it from her, which means you need to be telling, if you need to hear it, you need to be telling it to yourself over and over and over with all the reasons, all the justifications, all the everythings that go along with it. Okay. I am the good daughter because A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay. I believe I am the good, I am a good daughter because A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay. So some of that self-validation, if you make it believable to yourself, will help regulate you. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So
I don't
then
know how to get out of the anger and the fight when I'm
that's the
in
next,
it.
right. That's the next place we'll go. So I'm going to do a really basic nervous system lesson for everybody here, because I think Lisa probably knows this, but not everybody might. And as I talk through this, we can see where your gaps are. Okay. So, if you think of your nervous system as a ladder, right in the center of the ladder is this box called home base. All right. Home base is where you feel your best. Your nervous system is regulated. The energy in your body is completely normal. You feel grounded, calm, settled. You might feel productive. You might feel happy. You know, all of that, when you feel those things, everything is right in the world with the world. Home base. That is our home base. Okay. When you begin to add energy to your body, when your body senses danger and begins to add energy, you might feel anxious or nervous or angry or frustrated. Your muscles tense up. Y'all following me? Give me a thumbs up if you're following me. If you know what I'm talking about, when energy adds to your body, you might have a more rapid heart rate. You might talk faster. You might not sleep as well. You know, there's too much energy in your body. You fidget, right? When that energy gets way up there, your conscious thinking brain goes offline and survival instinct takes over, right? That's when fight or flight comes in. That's when you want to run away, when you want to punch somebody, something like that happens, right? Consciously, you know you shouldn't do that, but conscious brain has said, this is too much for me. We are in super big danger. I can tell because we have all this energy in our body. So habit brain, take the wheel. And what the habit brain does is it offers you what it knows settles you the most. And that most of the time, that's food. For us, right? So when you get super anxious and super dysregulated, you told me you tend to eat, right? Totally normal. And eating is regulating, okay? Because it's rhythmic, it's chewing and swallowing, it's a distraction, it creates a focus on something other than what's triggered you. Now, between home base and super at the top of above home base, where you're fight and flight, there are points at which you can be aware that you're beginning to dysregulate and you can create some safety feelings in your body. We'll talk about that in a minute. So back to home base, we can take the same ladder down when our energy starts to decrease, right? We start to slump over. We might feel sad, depressed, despair, hopeless. Maybe overwhelmed can be below home base, can also be above home base. But when you're feeling like you have no energy to do the things you need to do, depressed, that's all below home base. And you can tell when I talk about it, I hunch myself. You know, it's because there's like no tension in my body. I just want to curl up. My voice gets lower, right? Can you relate to that feeling? You know, when you start to go below home base. So if
Shut
you
down completely.
shut down is right. So we have fight and flight at the very top of above home base. We have shut down at the very bottom of below home base. Okay. Now, again, as you start to decrease, tired, y'all, tired is a little bit off of home base, but not very far. It's not a problem. It's not a problem to be off of home base Because technically, what we do is we kind of do this wavy thing in and out all day long. Okay. When it becomes an issue, when it becomes something to watch, is when we get stuck way above or way below. Right, Lisa? That's when you feel the dysregulation. Your body doesn't like it. It wants to regulate, it wants to bring everything back to normal. So it sends up urges to eat, whether you're way above or way below, or drink, or shop, or whatever your distraction of choice is. All right, so that's the background to the nervous system. So how do we manage that? It becomes a daily practice of doing things that help us feel good. And I'm not talking about shopping helps you feel good or, something like that. I'm talking about something somatic. And somatic means resting our body, helping our body feels good. Because when we're talking about nervous system, we're talking about our bodies. So if your nervous system is dysregulated, you want to do something that's body-centric to bring it back to home base, right? So when you're super anxious, had anybody ever been anxious and just fidgety and want to just have to move? When you're anxious, you move on purpose. You stand behind your desk and you do a little dance, or you take a walk, or you go for a run, or you do something that helps burn that energy off. Shake it out. Christy shakes it out. Perfect. What I mean by shake it out, seriously, y'all, is stand up and just shake your body. Shake your body. Okay? If you're below home base, movement can also help, but it needs to be more gentle to add energy because below home base is that lower energy, right? So those are some examples of what we do to manage the energy in our body. Now, for you, Lisa, it becomes not only what you do in the moment you feel the trigger, it becomes a practice to help you maintain as close to home base as you can prior to the trigger. Okay. So for you, what I would ask you is when you feel anxious, other than eating, what calms you? And I say anxious. I think I always say anxious when I'm talking about above home base. I think you said angry before. So let's say that.
No, anxious, overwhelmed,
Okay.
physically, yeah.
All right. So when
If
you're
it's not a huge, deep, instantaneous anger spiral and reaction, journaling helps, breathing helps, exercise
breathing.
helps.
Breathing. Exercise, journaling. Okay.
Reaching out, connecting,
Do you
and
ever
I can
do the
manage
hand on your
it.
heart, telling yourself you're safe? Do you ever do that?
Yeah, and sometimes I just grab my teddy bear because I feel very young.
Yes. You're comforting yourself now as an adult, but you're also comforting that part of you that hurt as a child, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Jane, Corinne's best friend, has a giraffe she hugs. So, it's a thing. So, what I would encourage you to do is to do more of that when you feel good. Okay? When you're feeling somewhat regulated or closer to regulation. I would do more of that when you feel good, because the more you do of that and the more you acknowledge how it keeps you calm or helps you feel good, the more it goes in that habit brain for when you go straight up above home base. Okay. So now the
Yep, that
habit
makes
brain is
sense.
saying, the only thing I know to do when I'm way up here is eat. Well, what if we start inviting other practices in? So that when you start to creep above home base, the only thing that's offered isn't just eating. It might be breathing or taking a walk or creating space between you and the trigger.
After listening to one of Coach Lizzie's calls, I sort of created a list of action steps that I could do at night. That was back when I was still doing stuff. to try to wind down and relax, get back to home base. Journaling, meditating, listening to a audiobook, doing a YouTube sound bath video, all of that stuff.
I would offer you too that warmth is regulating. So, like a warm shower or a hot bath or crawling into bed under all the covers, holding a warm mug of tea, washing your hands in warm water. Warmth is also very right. It is to me, it is to a lot of people. But I would offer you that too. So, when you are washing dishes, just think about, you know what? I'm washing dishes. This feels pretty good. This this regulates me. I had a client one time who she had a thing with her daughter. She wanted to micromanage that daughter's whole world, family, house, and everything. And to keep her mouth shut at Thanksgiving dinner, she would wash the dishes and look out the window. So for you, as you manage these triggers around your mom, as you learn how to manage them, I want you to practice ahead of time. Okay? Set up your good bedtime routine. Figure out, like you did with Coach Lizzie with her call, figure out what actually settles you into bed, what feels good, what brings you that sense of self-soothing. Okay? So that when you are triggered, you have the ability to pause and accept a suggestion other than food from your brain. Okay. So you talked about the five core pillars. You mentioned connection because you said call a friend. You mentioned going for a walk. That's movement. We've talked about sleep.
Sunshine.
What?
Sunshine.
Sunshine. Yeah. How can you get some? Can you get sunshine every day? Where do you live?
New Mexico.
Oh, girl, you got sunshine abundance. Make sure you get outside in that sunshine every day. Lift your face to it. Okay. And then nutrients. So the other part of this is think about how different your body feels when you have a good square meal versus a Big Mac and French fries. Right? Think about how your body feels when you put in it what actually feels good in your body. And I'm not talking diet rules here, y'all. I mean, have you ever looked at a plate with all those beautiful vegetables, cooked vegetables on it that are all those different colors and said, man, that's pretty. And it feels good when you eat it versus unwrapping a cardboard container and getting out a Big Mac, which might taste good in the moment, but feels like a lead ball in your stomach. Think about that. What feels good in your body? What helps you poop? What gives you energy? That kind of thing. That's where nutrients comes from.
Yeah, my IBS, which I've been diagnosed with since my mom moved in, is really severe right now.
That's nervous system dysregulation.
My chronic pain, which is generally well managed, is also through the roof.
That's nervous system dysregulation. So, what can you do? So, what you're probably doing, if we have our home base box right here again, your swings are probably way up and way down, right? Way up
Yes.
and way down, rather than the easier ins and outs.
The easier ins and outs I can manage.
Right,
It's when
because.
it's instantaneous and it's way up, because it usually happens way up before it goes way down. Physically, I mean, I feel like I could punch my fist through the wall. I have the adrenaline. The rapid heart rate, the breathing, it's very physical.
So when that happens in that moment, what is the first thing that you do? It's not eat, right? Because you're not sitting there with a bag of chips when you're doing it. What is the first thing that happens when you go straight up and want to punch a wall? What is the first thing you do?
Remove myself from the situation.
Exactly. That's creating space, right? So the first thing is always that first line of defense that your brain gives you. Once you create the space and you get away from the trigger, you remove yourself from the trigger, then you get to choose the second thing to do. Right?
Right. It's not always been possible. I mean, I can walk out of my mother's bedroom at the instant that she, does her stuff, but and I can leave her alone as much as possible to reduce our interactions. But ultimately, I have to go in, change a diaper, clean her up, feed her. All of that stuff, give her
What if you
medication.
walk away and tell yourself, I have, before I do anything else, I need to take three deep breaths. Right? It's the breath in, hold at the top, and a long, loud breath out. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you breathe in and longer out. Breathe
Right.
it in, hold it. Breathe it out for
And if
longer.
you make it audible, that it's called VU breathing. If you make it like whoo out, then it's going to activate your vagus nerve, which is going to help calm you as well. Okay. So
Okay.
your steps are one, create space, and two, at least three deep breaths. And if you can do them in the sunshine, you get bonus points. Okay.
Okay.
Then what's the third thing that you can do before you, is there a third thing that you can do?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well,
I
let's
mean,
leave it.
I can always journal. I've journaled most of my adult life, but there are times when it's like super, I'm super dysregulated and I can't journal.
No, writing could be hard. What about voice journaling? What
Voice
about picking up your
journaling.
phone and Marco Poloing yourself and go, you are not going to believe blah, 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 blah. Because that releases energy too, especially if you're talking, you're releasing energy.
Okay. I
Okay.
hadn't thought, I, well, there have been times I've thought about it, but I have
Yeah.
not actually done it.
So let's try those things. Create space, breathe, and speak. Speak into something or speak to yourself.
Okay.
And see if that doesn't bring you down far enough that you can bring that conscious brain a little bit back online and make your next best decision. How's that
Okay.
sound?
I'm willing to try anything at this point.
Okay.
I've heard that humming can be helpful. I haven't
Yeah,
tried
the
that.
humming does the activates the vagus nerve too. The vagus nerve, y'all, runs from the back of your head all the way down to your pelvic floor, and it controls a lot of your nervous system regulation.
I've been doing a lot of recent research about somatic kinds of therapy and vagus nerve stuff. I have to find a new therapist. And also about childhood PTSD and learning stuff. I mean, I'm a social worker, clinical social worker, but CPTSD explains my whole life patterns. And I'm learning more about it and trying to find somatic ways to deal with the body reactions.
There's a book. Have you read The Body Keeps the Score?
Not yet, but I just bought the audio book.
Okay. It's a little dense, but you might try that. As you look for a therapist, I would be happy to work with you in coaching to help you with some of these nervous system regulation things if you want to go that route. But I really want you practicing these three steps ahead of the trigger.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to practice them ahead of time at least once a day so that you can put them in your habit cycle and see if they'll run for you when you're triggered.
Okay, that, yeah, practice it ahead of time so that it becomes more automatic and I go into it automatically instead of wondering what to do.
Yes. And the more, actually, the more you practice the breathing and the humming that goes along with it and the sunshine, when you practice that ahead of time, you might be more prepared for the trigger, but you might also be more regulated overall. Okay.
Now that's good because that'll give me a pattern interrupt. Basically, I mean, it's a pattern, it's a lifelong
Yeah,
pattern.
exactly. Okay.
Okay.
I'm so
Thank
glad you
you.
came today.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Okay, if I check on you in a week or so.
Yes, and I could reach out or tag you in Facebook, or I could write to ask
Absolutely.
coaches.
Absolutely. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Lisa. I'll be thinking about you, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Take care. So good. Addie, you're next. Lisa, I want to make sure you see, Wendy said you have been so brave. This has been valuable for all of us. I'm so glad. It's a good opportunity for you to look at your process when you're triggered and see what changes you'd like to make to help you along the way. Hello. I can't hear you. Are you speaking? Check that microphone. Can't hear you. Eddie, let's do this. I'm going to go ahead and move you back to attendee while you figure it out. Raise your hand again and I'll take you after the next person, okay? All right, perfect. Betty, you're next. See, Betty's coming. Yep, perfect. Well, you're sideways, but hello.
So, this is distracting. I'm in my car.
It's okay. It's okay with me if it's okay with you.
Okay. So, I hope I can make this quick because I think Addie's problem is bigger than mine. Because I feel like this is a really stupid question after coming following Lisa. So,
Girl, there, if it is something you
I
need, it is not stupid. Okay. If it's something you need, it's not stupid. Okay.
so I'm just I'm trying to look for a little bit of, like, I'm dealing with a lot of self-hatred. It's just regret and disgust over my weight gain.
Okay.
And that's what I eat over. Like 2 years ago, I had lost like 40 pounds, probably a little more than that with the membership. And I've gained it all back. And like I'm working on getting back to losing again. And I just hate myself. I hate so much what's happened that I just regret what I've done to myself. I look back and I just think, like, I look at how beautiful it is outside right now, and like okay, my clothes don't fit. Like, I just hate what I've done.
So let me ask you a question. If I were to tell you that I have put half of my weight, original weight, back on, would you say, "Oh, girl, hit the shame cave.
No, you
You
look
are a
good.
terrible person."
No, I
Would you
think
say to
you
me?
look great. I
Huh?
mean, I don't know if you have, but you look
Oh,
great.
yeah, I
So,
have.
no.
Okay. But more about me in a minute. But what would you say to me?
Would just, like, you look happy with where you're at, and I think you look great. So, I'd probably say, oh, come on, Kathy, you don't have a reason to feel
No,
bad
but
about.
I am draped in a big heavy shame shawl, and I'm hating on myself about this regain. I feel so stupid. I hate myself so much. There's so much regret. What would you tell me?
That's hard because I am seeing you from the outside of you and not like I just see the external. Like, I see no reason for you to feel that way.
Would you ask me, hey, what was going on during that time? How can we help you move through, this period in which you were eating so that we can get you back to a period where you feel good about weight loss? Would you ask me that?
Maybe.
Maybe. So let's ask you, Betty, what
So
was going on?
sideways.
What was going on for you?
Well, I think so like I was convinced I couldn't gain weight again because I loved how I was living. I loved how I was eating. And like I was convinced, I think I just started to do a lot of this won't matter. And just
Kind of loosening up the reins a little bit.
kind of, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And
Okay.
then it was creeping up. Like
Okay.
it was a year of just creeping. Well, actually, it was probably 6 months of standing still. And then about a year of creeping up. And then, like, over the holiday season, it was fast.
Anybody else on this call had a regain? Hands up, please. Thumbs up if you've had a regain. Oh, look.
Yeah.
Sometimes this happens, right? And sometimes it happens because we loosen the reins, because we kind of get away from what, oh, look at you. You're fixing it. Kind of get away from either what we were doing, or we've had something in our life happen, or our body changes, or we go through menopause, or we get the breast cancer and have to go on estrogen blockers, all the things. So I can sit here in shame that I've gained half my weight back, or I can go back and say, I wonder what happened. I wonder, all right, now I'm standing still right now. If I look back, what happened that created these steps for me to gain some of this weight back? All right. And so now we're pulling in facts. Okay. So for me, there's a lot of facts. For you, there's facts as well, but they're in every piece of information that you gather, there's a lesson to be learned. Okay. And it's our responsibility to rip off the shame shawl and figure out what our next step is. And this is where we get to, she's a little frozen. This is where we get to feel two things at one time. Okay? So there's part of you that feels regret and self-loathing.
Yes.
But there's another part of you that got on this call to talk about it tonight. What?
Desperate.
What?
Desperate.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else?
Hopeful.
Hopeful.
I knew I did it before. I can do it again.
Yeah.
And I always called it easy. Am I cutting out again?
Nope.
I always, you know, when I was like really into losing, us, this is so easy. Like, I love this. I love how I'm living. And now I'm not there anymore. Now I'm on the other side of it with all of my weight, and it feels like it's going to be really hard. And every time I take the steps.
All right, so let's hone in on that thought. It feels like it's going to be really hard. Okay?
Yep. Yes.
Do you know that for certain?
No.
What does your evidence tell you?
Someone just said it's simple but not easy. Gosh. That's true.
What does your evidence tell you?
Well, I was losing. I was in love with the process.
Mm-hmm. But you just told me that when you were losing, it didn't feel hard.
It
You
did
used the
not.
word easy, right?
Yeah.
So how can you recapture that? You know, if you rip that shame shawl off, rip the shame shawl off, let it sit over here. Okay. Put it in the chair next to you because it's okay to feel shame. I mean, nobody likes it, but I'm never going to tell you not to feel something. But on this chair over here, we have hope and ease, right? So you get to pick which one becomes actionable for you. This is that duality of emotions I was talking about, right? You want to keep leaning into the shame. Guess what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Probably not a lot of weight loss. But
Mm-hmm.
if you want to allow the shame to be there and kind of think about it and work through it while you're actually over here with the hope and making a plan and seeing what, you know, seeing what might be available to you, then you're probably going to be back on track, at least thinking it is possible to get back on track. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
I'm just thinking about it. It feels like a huge mountain to climb right now.
Okay. I'm explaining that to you too. You ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Your habit brain back here, primal brain, it loves routine. It loves doing the easy things. It has three main purposes, right? Make things easy because it doesn't want to conserve a lot of energy. This conscious brain uses energy. Habit brain, no, easy. Seek pleasure, avoid pain. So when you started eating again, when that started creeping in again, your habit brain's going, oh, yes, good. We're eating again. We know this. We know this makes us feel good. Let's just keep those suggestions coming. All right.
Okay.
So
let's
of course,
keep the suggestions
yeah.
coming.
So of course the habit brain is going, dude, we don't want to lose weight. We're happy where we are right now. Things are easy. We're just eating when we want. We're not having to do any work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So the habit brain makes it a big deal that we're trying to change things to lose weight when it's really not so much of a big deal. That's where you get to listen to what comes out of that habit brain and decide if it's actionable.
What does that mean? Decide if it's actionable.
Decide if it's the truth and if that's what you want to go with. So when the habit brain says, you know what, Betty, it's been a tough day, we should have cookies.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's what it does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Conscious brain needs to come in and go, is that what we really want? Or do we want to get this 40 pounds back off? How else can we treat ourselves? We're back to the five core pillars now. How else can we treat ourselves that helps us relax? Because we do deserve relaxation. It just might not be the best idea to do cookies. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I put words to an urge. Basically, when I said the habit brain says, you've had a hard day, we should have cookies, that's basically an urge, right? When you feel the urge, it's up to you to decide which side of the fence you're going to fall on, over here with the shame cave and the regret, or over here with the hope and the ease.
Okay.
Make sense?
I like that picture. Yes.
Yeah. I talk about it. Christy said it's simple but not easy. I talk about it in a very simplistic way. Sitting with an urge, not sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's not. Okay? But it's up to you to decide how much effort you want to put into telling that urge no. Make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Somebody asked in the chat, what are the three things with the habit brain against called the motivational triad? Make things easy, seek pain, seek pain. No. Make things easy, seek pleasure, avoid pain. You ready to say no to your habit brain now and then?
I am, now that you put it that way. I've just needed help for so long.
I get it. I get it. I get it. Things happen. I think for some of us, weight loss just isn't going to be linear. I think it's going to be a practice. It's going to be something that we do and we do well. And then we have situations come in our lives, kind of like Lisa's, and we have to figure out how to manage them. And then when those things pass and we're ready to do and do well again, we go back to it. That's kind of what I'm experiencing right now. With my regain, I had some health issues that created my regain, along with, to be honest, loosening those reins, right? A little bit too many cookies at night, maybe too many beers on the weekend. Who knows what it was, but I am where I am now. But what I know is wrapping up in that shame shawl is not going to get me to where I want to go. Make sense?
It does. Yeah, wrapped up in the shame shawl makes me listen to my habit brain, and
Yeah.
yeah, I'm
Because
better
habit.
than that.
Yeah. Yes. And that habit brain, I'm not hating on the habit brain because it's important. It keeps us safe. Okay? But it also sometimes doesn't get it quite right, and we have to add our thinking brain to the conversation. Okay, good.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right, bye. Addie, let's try you again.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome.
Beautiful. You must have been, were you
Fantastic.
paired? I bet your computer was paired to the headphones, wasn't it?
No, actually it wasn't. My microphone's not working on my computer for some reason, so now I'm paired, so it
All
works.
right. Interesting. Okay. What you got tonight?
So I think it's kind of, I was meant to hear that caller before. Because I've regained about 30 pounds in the last 3 years. But my big thing right now that I'm really dealing with, so my father has had a lot of medical issues since I was 5 years old. I turned 40 this year. I've always been helped to be a caregiver for him. my senior prom, I got ready in the emergency room or ICU actually. Like,
wow.
So a lot of experiences with that. And then because I've been so close with him and have helped my parents so much, or my mom with him, I've kind of been a safe person. And October of 2023, there was a huge blow up with him, to the point that, and I'm embarrassed to say this, but it almost could have gotten physical if I hadn't walked away. Which I spiraled after that happened. Have really set a boundary and not talked to him since then. But to make all of that long short, the Thursday before Palm Sunday, I got a call from my mom that she was taking him to the emergency room. She's having to take him regularly, almost quarterly at this point, but he was unresponsive. He was breathing on his own, but he was unresponsive. She's never asked me to go to the hospital with her before, and she asked me to go, so I went. And I had to sit there and watch my mom sign a DNR and a DNI. We were told by the doctors that he was comatose. And we were just going to monitor, no life-saving stuff. I was okay with that. And then Friday morning, I get a call from my mom saying the doctors don't think he's going to make it through the day on Friday. My brother lives about 4 hours away, so I call him. He comes home. We had a miracle. We gave my dad oxygen, and they gave him a saline bag. And by Palm Sunday morning, he was awake and talking, and which is fantastic. But it's kind of in with your theme for tonight of feeling multiple emotions, because I'm happy that he made it, but I'm also upset that he made it. He's struggled with a lot of things throughout his entire life. He's had 40 plus back surgeries. He's got chronic pain. And he's been ready to go for a while, but yet he keeps coming back. And I think I'm struggling with the why.
From what perspective?
Why does he keep coming back when he really has no quality of life at this point? So what, I don't know, I guess it's, what's the point in him continuing to go through these bouts and continuing to come back? And then I judge myself, because I'm like, how twisted is that? How screwed up is it to be upset that your parent is still
but
alive?
Is it? Why do you think that's twisted?
Because who wishes for somebody to be dead? And I'm not wishing for him to be dead.
Maybe somebody who cares about somebody who's lived with pain her entire life?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't, you know, we've talked about it as a family that, you know, he, at this point, almost the humane thing would be for him to pass. But he keeps coming back, which is fantastic.
I am struggling here with not going all holy roller on you. Okay.
I know. And it's a miracle. And, you know, and I talk to my friends and family, and we are religious faith. We have faith, and we got our Holy Week miracle. Right. My nephews even said when they were here, oh, he's risen, which we all laugh about now, but it's basically true.
Let me ask you this. So I'm going to tell you about Gerald. Okay. Gerald is a friend of mine at church. He's a Marine. I bet he's 70 probably. And last Christmas, he should not have lived. All right, I can't even tell you the extent of the things that were wrong with Gerald. And he's living right now. He's not living his best life. But every time I see him, I say, Gerald, it is really good to see you upright. And his response is, my bed's not ready yet.
And I keep thinking that there's something that he needs to do yet.
There is It's my thought when I hear something like that, and this is, I'm sorry, y'all, if this is too holy roly for y'all, but it's my thought that his work's not done.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I just struggle because I just see him in so much pain. And
that's the love that you have for him. And that's really important to note. Because this thing that happened in 2023, it's in the past now, right?
Right.
You have been given a gift of extra time with your dad to reconcile that with him and in your mind.
Yeah, and I did, as he was kind of starting to come out of it, so we didn't leave him alone for probably 4 days. Someone was always there with him. It was middle of the night, and I did take the time. I talked to him and let him know how things were going. I think that he did hear me because he's made some comments. But I guess I'm also kind of a wimp because I don't really want him to bring it up, that he did hear what I said. But I don't know. I was very vulnerable when I spoke
You
with
know,
him.
The funny thing is, I'm pulling something out of my desk here. Back before COVID, there was a movie Tom Hanks starred in with where he played Mr. Rogers. Do you remember this movie?
Yeah.
He said something in there I wrote down because, I mean, I was grabbing my purse thinking, I've got to write that down, and I keep it right here. What you did, basically, when you talked to him about it, did you forgive? Did you forgive it? Okay.
Yeah, I did.
Forgiveness is a decision you make to release someone from the feelings of anger you have toward them. You can forgive someone without talking to them. You can forgive someone without ever mentioning it to them. Or you can forgive someone and just tell them in person, kind of like you did, even though he was
semi-conscious.
May or may not have heard you.
Yeah.
That relief is what you are allowed to have yourself. Okay. He might feel relief from it or not. It doesn't matter as long as you feel the relief. Okay. Of the release of the anger. Since you have closed the book on that, so to speak, you now have borrowed time in which to love and care for him. If you will, you said you had your miracle, your Easter miracle. Well, we call this borrowed time. You have an opportunity now to show him as often as you want to that you care about him. And in doing that, you help ease his emotional pain. And that's what's so important to all of us. He's lived with physical pain for a very long time. Maybe now's the time to just work with his emotional pain. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I struggle with being vulnerable with my parents. So that's hard for me. So
you have to be vulnerable to show them affection, care, support.
I feel like showing affection. So showing care and support, being a caretaker, I can do that easily. I compartmentalize very easily on that. And maybe that is my way of showing that I care, and he'll see it that way. When someone says, you know, show affection, I'm thinking like, you know, give him hugs and tell him you love him and all that. And
that's just physical affection. There's emotional affection as well.
Okay.
Okay. You do you, I want you to fill your cup when it comes to this relationship. It's just like when I talked to Lisa, right? She said her mother is never going to say she's a good daughter.
Yeah.
I don't care. I want Lisa to believe she's a good daughter. All right. So whether or not your dad reciprocates or acknowledges isn't as important as you feel good about how you showed up.
Okay.
Because one of these days he is going to be gone and you don't want to have any regrets.
Yeah.
Right. You want to know that you are exactly the person you wanted to be, whatever that is. It doesn't have to be this perfect, beautiful daughter figure. It is who you wanted to be. So that you can bury him without regrets. And you have been given the gift of a little bit of extra time in order to do that.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
Sounds doable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I can do that.
You're not a bad person for loving him enough to wish he were without pain. Do you believe that? Is there a
My
piece of you that
there's
believes that?
there's a little piece. My higher self, my better self knows that, yes, that's logical, but my shitty brain is like, who the hell thinks that?
Please
You're
don't
just
call your habit
crazy.
brain the shitty brain. It's got this set of rules back here that nobody knows who wrote them.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I know. And nine
That's
times
just,
out of 10, I have
yeah.
to correct her. You know,
it's,
I get
it's
the
just self-judgment. Yeah.
Yeah. The not so good thought. And then I write the good, better thought.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I understand.
That's just self-judgment. That's all it is.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, globally thinking, wishing someone would die, probably not cool, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But in this circumstance, it's more, is it really a wish for that he had died, or is it a wish that he was without pain?
He was without pain.
Yeah.
And right now, the only way for that is for that to happen, for him to pass.
Okay. But you can still love him enough to wish he didn't have pain.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So pull that apart just a little bit and see if that doesn't feel a little bit better to you.
Okay.
Okay?
I can do that.
You good?
I'm good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for fixing your microphone stuff.
Thanks for taking the time.
You're welcome. See ya.
Bye.
Okay, got two questions. And we'll get out of here. Judy asked about the five core pillars. I think I saw that Joanne put them in the chat. Basically what that means, Judy, is those are the core, just the like the root of all how to make yourself feel good. Okay, how to make yourself feel better, how to make your nervous system feel less janky or, you know, less energy back at home base. So those are sunshine, connection, nutrients, movement, sleep. I always forget one. I just need to hang them on my monitor. April said, I'm in the beginning stages of launching a coaching business in Corinne's No BS Business Membership, and it's amazing. Yes, it is. I'm anxious about it all, the unknowns, questioning if I really have what it takes. I'm noticing the past few Mondays, I'm having overeats. I've completed discovery worksheets or journaled after them, and I believe I'm eating as a means of self-sabotage or fear because I will hear myself saying, see, you don't have what it takes to be a coach. I think that's your habit brain trying to make it easy. That's what I think. Look at how you're not being mindful. You need to stop this dream and just quit. Oh, girl, that's your habit brain going, this is too hard. We got to work too hard. Let's eat instead. Right? When it's just not wanting to work. I mean, it's just wanting everything to be like chill. It's probably not even hard work, but it might be new. Habit brain doesn't like new. Love some ideas on how I keep my nervous system calm as I'm working on my business stuff. So I love a checked box, April, and my nervous system loves a checked box. So I think what I would do is on your Mondays, I would go into my calendar, into your calendar, and put in each hour time block what result you're going to create. So we've pre-planned now. We've told our habit brain, this conscious brain's going to be working on Mondays, and here's what we're going to do. And as you go through that list, check your boxes, give yourself a high five, take a minute and go, yep, got that done, got that done, got that done, tried that, that didn't work, so I pivoted to this. And see if having that conversation using your thinking brain helps a little bit. Of course, your habit brain's going to be like, oh, girl, this is hard. I mean, think Corinne used to talk about the habit brain having the Barry White voice. You know who Barry White is? Are you old enough for that? Girl, that sexy voice. It's going to be hard. Maybe we should have cookies instead. Unfortunately, you're just going all in. You're not going, thank you, Barry White. That's all good. It's no big deal. We'll have cookies later if we want to celebrate and if they're on my plan. But for right now, I'm really digging this business membership. So I'm going to do some of these things that Corinne suggests. That's what I would do. What do you think about that? If you need any other help with that, hit me up and ask coaches. Okay. But I think that's what I would do. I would talk back to Barry White first. And I would, but I would really, I love, y'all, I love a checked box and I love creating a calendar knowing exactly what I'm going to do each day. I populate my calendar and sometimes I even go to the calendar and say, what am I supposed to be working on right now? Oh yeah, it's Ask Coaches. Let's get in there and help some people. Okay. So that's what I would suggest to you. Schedule out your Mondays. Don't overpack them. You know, Corinne teaches high impact, easy work. Do those things first. Put those, that's what goes on your calendar first. And then see if you don't find some joy in getting some work done. Okay. All right, y'all. I ran late tonight. Hope that's okay. You all have a beautiful day. You know where to find me and Ask Coaches, Facebook group, private coaching. My wait list is getting pretty short. I'm just saying, wait list is getting short. So if you need me, just holler. Talk to you soon.